Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week. And, gosh, we've got 6 years doing this. Can you imagine? We've got made it 6 years, and it just seems like it's flown on by. And today we're going to do our end-of-the-year show. And I'm privileged to have my good friend Mary Blake on today to talk story with us and just have fun and do a Christmas holiday show talking about a little bit of everything, and we'll see where it takes us. This is not scripted. This is just fun. And I hope you all enjoy, and I hope everybody out there is enjoying the holiday season. Many people have their all over the world doing different things. It's a time of year. I wish it would be nice if it was like it all the time, and people are in different places. So we just want to celebrate. And without further ado, I'd like to welcome Mary Blake.
Hi, Natalie. It's great to be here with you.
Oh, thank you for coming on today. We did this a little bit last year.
We did. Maybe we should make it a tradition.
I think so. I realize I don't have any eggnog.
Oh, that's serious. I have my nutmeg already.
You have it. I get it from, like, usually Thanksgiving till New Year's, and I'm trying to be good now about not having it frequently. having those cutback portions.
Oh, yeah.
So you are up in New York. You're up in Manhattan. And,
right.
It must be beautiful up there with all the Christmas decorations.
It sure is. It's just lovely. And yesterday was so warm. I was out walking and checking out the Christmas bazaar. It was very much fun.
Yesterday was warm considering how cold it had been, huh? It's all
right.
Was it like in the 50s, 40s? Yeah.
I like the change of temperature. It's like a tonic for the body, you know, and for the mind too.
Mhm. It keeps you on your toes, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So have you gone down to Rockefeller Center? Last year I was in Manhattan this time of year. And when they were going to decorate the tree, but it was raining, so I didn't go down there. It was raining really hard.
Oh, yeah, well, that was decorated already a couple of weeks ago. It's all decorated, but I haven't been that far east yet. I'm a West Sider.
You're right by Central Park. Well, you're right by Central Park. Central Park's so big, though, that I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Areas touch it.
It sure is. Oh. Yeah. But Lincoln Center is so nice.
The Rockefeller, I guess that was, it was the first few days of December I was there last year. So I guess it's when they decorate every year, right?
Yeah.
The beginning.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
Like clockwork. It's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. Well, we've got so much going on in the news this year with President Trump being in, and they just passed the huge tax bill. Looks like it's moving forward 100%. This is going to really help our economy the next couple years. And so when it comes to the real estate market, I mean, we didn't know what was going to happen. Everybody's been, you know, we can't predict the future, but this looks very, very good for the real estate market. definitely a good time to buy or sell a property. And in be investing, it's good to diversify your assets. And the real estate is just not, I don't think we're going to slow down because of these changes. They've been really good for small businesses as well. And so it's very exciting, extremely exciting time to see all
well,
that's going
sure,
on.
Well, it sure
time.
Is different. Sure
it's
is different.
Yeah.
And I think change, everybody gets uncomfortable with change, but I think probably being uncomfortable is the best way to grow because, you know, you have to scurry around and try to figure out ways to be more comfortable and to, you know, run your life a little bit better.
Always, always. This change is, gosh, you've seen so many changes, haven't you?
I surely have. Yeah, growing up in the Depression, Christmas was very, very interesting. Very interesting. There were a lot of homemade gifts, you know.
Oh, well. So how, Mary, we're not supposed to discuss a woman's age, right? But you're so dynamic and just your energy and your health and you just keep going and going and going, and you're just amazing. So you were born, I shouldn't say it that way.
Yeah, at the
but
very
it's
beginning
you've
of the Depression,
so
you know, really.
Yeah. Wow,
yeah.
That must have been really
difficult. I lived through the whole thing, you know.
How old were you in the probably?
Oh, with the Black Tuesday or whatever it was. I was about 3 months old.
Oh, well, that must have been so. I mean, people, you know, when you go through these things, you really appreciate everything, don't you?
Yeah, you sure do. The little Dell furniture that my grandfather made for me 1 year, you know, it was very special, you know.
Mm.
And once I got a kitten, you know.
Wow. That's so
yeah.
Great. Yeah, so many people all around the world are going through different things. Holidays mean so many different things, and with so many different traditions. We're going to kind of touch on that a little bit.
Sure.
You know, it's just such a season to try to be happy, and I mean, if people aren't happy, you know, there's different people have different feelings about the holidays. I think many people do New Year's resolutions and start off, and I think with what's going on though, it looks like there's a lot more good going on, you know, a lot of good things and a good changes and a lot to look forward to, especially
mm-hmm.
if you're in real estate. With our Realty Universal menu systems that we teach people through our Realty Universal membership network, we kind of touch on all different things. It's not always just real estate. It's really touching on helping people live better lives, live the lives they want to live, you know, through freedom and through making better choices. Just like you said, you're always having to make choices. And I think we go
mm-hmm.
through seasons, right? We go through seasons depending on
oh, yeah,
and
you know, the buying a home is one of the biggest choices that a person can make. And it's a kind of a grounding thing, and it's a kind of a commitment to life and family building to the community. And I think really as a realtor, you have so much to give to people's lives. I mean, it's the usually the greatest investment and the repository of wealth of nearly all people, except, you know, like the multimillionaires, forget that, you know, but it's a little bit different for them, but for ordinary people, the home is just everything. You know, it's all I've got. I had heard someone who had their home burned down. She said it was all I had, and now it's gone. You know, so this, you think about it, it's a big deal.
Well, it is, and we always have to. I mean, if somebody's renting, you know, a lot of people choose to rent versus buy, but the rates are so low that it's so doable to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you have to live somewhere, right? So that's where it's really great to start building a portfolio and looking at your assets to see how it's going to go, because time flies. You know, we're 20, 30, 40, 50 before you know it. And they talk about compound interest and getting it set up, and but it's never too late. Somebody could be way older and still buy their home, right, or get into something.
Right.
And I think a lot of people always think you have to get a loan. You have to be able to have – you must have good credit and a lot of money down and income. If you have the good credit and you have the income, then it does make sense to go through a bank and get a loan. But if you do not have the good credit and you don't have the income, you have to have the income to be able to afford it. But there's a lot of properties that you can purchase for the same price that you're renting a property, and by the time you get the write-offs, you could get in. And so it's just good to look at it and never think, well, I can never do this, because there's owner financing. There's all types of creative ways to do things, and we just never want to say never, huh? Never say never.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And now we've got this big cryptocurrency going on. You can even buy real estate with cryptocurrency, with bitcoins.
Yes, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Just amazing.
And I don't think it's going away. I just do not think cryptocurrency is going away. It's based on blockchain. For those of you listening, if you're not familiar with it, definitely do yourself a favor and start learning about cryptocurrency. Bitcoin's not the only one. There's Ethereum. There's, oh my gosh, there's probably over 100 plus and more starting. But there's Ethereum, Litecoin, Bitcoin. It's really, you want to be careful, but you owe it to yourself to definitely learn about it. A lot of people got in early and are very, very happy right now. It's being used all over the world. And what I find most fascinating is the blockchain that this is all working from, because the blockchain can actually work. It works with records and many other ways than just the money being used for Bitcoin, you know, or the cryptocurrency, and that's not going to go away either. So it's fascinating. I love the Google, the search engines, because, you know, in the old days we had to go to encyclopedias, right? And did you tell me a story before about encyclopedias way back.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I cut my eye teeth on Webster's Unabridged Dictionary.
Wow.
And that was the big one, that the bottom third of the page was obsolete and obsolescent phrases. And that's how I read Shakespeare.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I looked up the obsolete meaning of the words, and I cracked up, because it's really very funny when you know what the words really mean. That they meant a whole different thing. You know, it's a big joke. It's fascinating.
That is fascinating, right? If you really do.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I just love, there's so much to learn and so much happening, and we have so many changes. And even with all the changes, though, there's no place like home. And home can be, you know, a physical place, and it's also, you know, we've got to take care of our body, our mind and spirit. It's interesting. It's just, there's so much going on at such a fast pace. But that foundation, that base, that peace comes from, you know, calming down and having our base, right? And having our balance and our faith and a lot of trust.
As they say, there's no place like home. But home is a magical thing, because it's different for everybody, and it's something that we create out of nothing. And dreams, the plans, the memories, all of the wonderful things that we do in our homes, this is what home really is all about. And the beautiful thing that you do with your real estate, and I know positively that you do this. You match the home to the buyer, and you have this instinct of knowing what would work for different people, and it's just absolutely fascinating.
It's you know, it's nowadays, because we have in our real estate side, we have the real estate menu systems, which I firmly believe in and started years ago, giving the power back to the people, letting buyers and sellers get involved if they want to, as well as agents and brokers. And there's a place for agents and brokers. Agents and brokers are very much needed, especially with so many changes in regulations. But there's so much that sellers and buyers can do on their own as well because of the Internet. So it's a nice blend of, you know, if you need us, you use us. If you don't, you don't. But we're not – nobody's getting used in the sense of taking advantage. It's more of a from a philosophical and of, you know, let's do right and it comes back around. And that's what I love about the real estate, because we're able to touch so many lives. And I call it real estate's the vehicle. And when you look at – tell me if you would agree with this, because not getting into psychology and it to the T, but when you think the most important with our bodies and our – you know, we have to take care of our physical bodies and our life and work and what we do – would you agree that our mind, what has a man thinketh, so he is, right? That our mind plays a huge role whether we're going to have good days, bad days, right? Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. You have to have an intention, and the intention is the linchpin for any beautiful experience. How do you think about it in advance, and how do you envision it, and how do you bring other people into the energy and create the wonderful atmosphere? And the ambiance is more important than anything. Then you just come into a place and it feels like Christmas. It feels like happiness and loving experiences and sharing. And I really feel that there's a lot of interesting to me is that this time of year is sacred and special for almost every religion.
I agree.
And all of the great spiritual holidays seem just clustered in, and there's something about mankind and wanting it in this time when it's cold outside and uncomfortable in some ways. It's important to think about spirit and happiness and creating a beautiful place to be.
The traditions, there's so many traditions. We're going to go over some of the bizarrest traditions I found in a little bit. And, you know, just because some things are like, really, really, oh, my. And you know, I know for some people it's a depressing time, so I just want to say that sending you hugs and love, that you know, when I was saying about our minds, I mean, we can get stuck. We all go through things. There's so many things, and we're all different, right, in how we deal with things. So if you can just take that, like Mary was saying, that, you know, even picture some good about it and enjoy it and give yourself a hug. And you know, it is a special time of year. And I'd like to keep Christmas every day. You know, of course, Jesus, I'm Christian, and we celebrate Jesus' birth, even though it's not exactly that day, right, you know, day. But I'd like to keep that, you know, keep that in. And it makes me think what you're saying right now about picturing and the ambiance. I think about when my son was growing up, and I hopefully will do this again with grandchildren one day, right? I don't know when. We would make the sugar cookies and the fudge, you know, and you know, get the baking and do all the little things you do or the little traditions and you know, like me with the eggnog and eggnog ice cream. It's like, okay, I can have it that time of year. I'm not going to make it homemade, but we all have our own little things that we want to do.
Oh, yeah.
But our mindset does make a huge difference in everything. It just does. And it's
mm-hmm.
We take deep breaths, right? Deep breaths, and come from that place that from and the God in the spirit, our universe is so real and so loving, and we can take that in through prayer and through through visualization. It's interesting to me because I think about like when you grew up. And how much, and I'm only, Mary, you let me do this, so I'm not, you're just so miraculous, because I would not do this. For those of you who listen, I would just wouldn't do this with a stranger, okay?
I am very comfortable being me, which is nice.
You are awesome. And but you think how much things have changed in just, 80-some years,
oh, yeah.
right? How much things have changed.
Oh, my heavens.
And but the basics are there, and we have the traditions and the basics, and it gives us that foundation and makes us feel peaceful. But we have to find it in ourselves because, I know a lot of people, with family traditions or with families. You have the holidays and, in-laws and get-togethers and families get together and some get along and some don't get along. So there may be people that are going, I don't want to go to the Christmas dinner. I don't want to go to, they're saying, how do we do it? How do we do this? And, but you can on your own say, hey, I'm going to make this a great day. It may be that, say very much, just hi, I'm giving everybody hugs. But you can make it a great day, right? And it starts with us.
Absolutely.
But,
and, it's odd, but when times were so bad, it seemed like everybody was desperate to make a special day.
Yes. And a special day is kind of like, it's kind of like a day that it has nothing else is going to interrupt it, right? You're just going to kind of enjoy.
Yeah, and the saying that what Thoreau said. Most Americans live lives of quiet desperation, and they look forward. When every day is a struggle, you look forward and you yearn for a special day when things are going to be wonderful, and you knock yourself out to try to make that happen.
Yes, and it's good to not expect. Do it because you want to do it from your heart. You want to make it special.
Yeah.
You are
mm-hmm.
you. Because when we expect, then we get our feelings hurt if the other ones in the group aren't appreciative, or the family member doesn't do this or somebody makes this remark. And then before you know it, it's like, no, make it a good day. Make it a good day. Christmas is so much. The, whether it's there's Kwanzaa, Hanukkah,
right.
Yule, there's so many. Islam has other holidays now. I think Japan in the beginning of January. There's so many different holidays.
Sure.
A couple. We've got Christmas and Hanukkah are the major ones, but then we have Orthodox Christian Islam. In November 30th to December 1st, I didn't know Maulid and Nabi Islam. It honors the birth of Prophet Muhammad, who founded Islam. St. Nicholas Day, of course, is Christian. Hanukkah is Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
Immaculate Conception is December 8th. We've got so many different. December 18th is a Hispanic Christian holiday. Posadas Navidanas. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but we have the Solstice, which is pagan, on December 21st. We've got our 25th is Christian. Holy Innocence Day. On the 28th.
Oh, and there's Three Kings Day from from
Three Kings.
You know,
about the Three Kings that give it to Jesus. Oh, I was
yeah,
in my car.
Yeah, they
one.
Have Three Kings, and I think down in the Caribbean.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
There's so many. I was getting my car washed the other day, and you go in, and there's I forgot the name of these cards, these funny cards, and I opened up one, and it said it was a woman on there saying I'm only worried about the three wise men or something they were talking about. I'm worried about what they are going to be doing. It was cute.
Yeah.
We've got Buddhist Body Day, Buddhist on January 5th, and there's so many. If we miss any, please don't hold us to it because there's just so many neat traditions, and like you said, that it's planned to just do it and get it done that day.
But what it really proves is that mankind is constantly striving toward a greater being and expansion and membership in something greater than themselves. That's what holidays of all kinds are about.
Yes, and honoring it, honoring that, right? Honoring the
traditions,
honoring what we feel and go. And it's just to be able to connect like that is so amazing. I love it.
Traditions
love it.
Are safety, I think. You know, you feel reminded of past times, and you feel warmed by the good times you had, and tradition is nice, but it's not everything. You also need to have something new and wonderful that just never happened before and suddenly is happening now.
I agree. And then something you can make special with your family, you know, start a tradition. Mary Morrissey, who I think the world of, I've told you, she has her Life Solution program and Dream Builders programs, and she's been doing this, helping people for 40-some years. She was in ministry. She tells a story about a man fishing, and he keeps cutting, bringing in a good-sized fish, and then he cuts it down, you know, and puts it in his bag. He cuts it down, keeps putting it in, puts it in. And another person goes, "Sir, why do you do that? You don't want the fish, or why are you?" He was throwing them back if they weren't a certain size, or the bigger ones.
Uh-huh.
He was throwing the bigger ones out and cutting down. Mm-hmm. Like, why do you do that? And, you know, why are you doing that? I'm just wondering why you're throwing this. And he said, "I'm doing it because I have to have it the size of my frying pan. I
right.
can only have it this big." And you're like, scratching your head. What? Are you serious? That's part of like a tradition, you know. You hear about the people baking the roast and they're cutting this off and cutting that off. Why did you cut that off all the time? Because my grandmother did, right? And it's just all. Some of those things are just very. You know, there's a reason, and some are comfortable. It's comfortable to follow the tradition.
And some are mindless.
Totally. Like, there was no reason, right? But she did it, so we're doing it, you know? Here's one.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this, but many probably have, because, you know, December 26th, Zarathustra, Diso, Death of Prophet Zarathustra.
Zarathustra, yes. That was one of the names of Buddha.
Zarathustra. It says, unlike many of the other holidays in the month, Zoroastrians honor the death of their prophet Zarathustra, who founded Zoroastrianism, one of the world's oldest monotheistic religions. Interesting. So you always learn something new every day. I may have learned it before.
Yes, you do. Yeah.
It's just interesting, isn't it?
No, so I misunderstood because of your spell the name.
I pronounce it.
Spell the name of it.
Well, my pronunciation is on this. I'm looking at Zarathustra, and then it Diso, Diso, Death of Prophet Zarathustra. I don't know what that is.
Zarathustra. Or something like that. Zarathustius. Yeah. Okay. That's fascinating.
It's a monotheistic religion. It's one of the world's
oldest. Uh-huh. Zoroastrianism.
So, you know,
that was when they wrote it all down in cuneiform. Okay.
Really?
That's interesting.
Wow. You know, I love the Google and the search engines because you can just think of something. I have a question. And even though it's not, you know, going to be scholarly, it's not going to be peer reviewed, right? Which, of course, with colleges and education, we must use the peer review.
Sure, of course.
But hey, it makes you wet it. It questions you. You learn. It's just something no one can ever take that away from us, you know? And it's easy to be
and
awesome.
And you know, it's one of the wonderful gifts that we have, that the internet has given. For example, there were most of my life, when you forgot the last line of a song, it could drive you crazy for weeks. You know, now you just go and Google it. I mean, it's wonderful.
Exactly. I love it. No, it just really, really does. You know, it just really, I love it. It's just so amazing.
And another one of the innovations that I absolutely adore is the GPS of philosophy. If something goes wrong, all you do is recalculate.
Recalculate. Let's start over.
Yeah. And instead of I made a terrible mistake and this is disgusting, how stupid I am. Recalculate. It's wonderful.
Recalculate. I love it. Because we, you know, it's beautiful. You know, the most important thing for us to learn is about ourselves as we grow, right? And you look at it and you go, wow.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's a season for everything. A season, like if any of you are going through really tough times, and I know what that was like losing my brother, and I grieved for 4 years. I was stuck hurting myself. And I'm only mentioning that because I know there are going to be people listening to this that are like, well, I'm not excited about the holidays right now, or I just had this horrible thing happen to me, or I've had a horrible diagnosis, or just many things happen that are going to be horrible, you know. And I want to say that in time, you know, there's many, some situations aren't going to be, but time kind of heals certain things. Time, you know, changes, and there's seasons, and I'm not, you know.
But your attitude and your intention is actually more important than time, because some people grab hold of a grievance and hold it for years. You know, like my grandmother grieved for 40 years from the death of a 2.5-year-old, little Lillian.
Oh.
We had to go out to the cemetery every Memorial Days in those days was Decoration Day. And then all of a sudden my aunt died, and she stopped grieving completely about Lily and started grieving about my Aunt Ollie.
Aww.
So it was a very strange thing, but she seemed to latch on to unhappy things. And I believe that if we are flexible enough and willing to do it, we can change an unhappy time into something very special to remember.
Right, I agree with you. Now, everybody has different time periods. The grieving process is different for everybody, you know, so we want to honor that. And what you're saying is exactly right, and sometimes it may not be a grievance of somebody passing away. It could be that this person said this to me, right? Or this happened to me, and we're not letting it go.
Exactly.
And that's really important to try to, because, hey, everybody out there, this is not a dress rehearsal.
It's really spiritual garbage.
Well, you know, they say that people, when you talk to people that do hospice, nurses, or you know, people that are the clergy, or people that are on their deathbeds and passing on.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's saying, you know, oh my gosh, I wish I would have worried more. Oh my gosh, I'm just so mad at that person. Nobody's saying that.
Everybody's saying,
I want a little bit more time.
Yeah.
I want more time. I'm not finished. I had work to do. I don't mean physical work, but the things I wanted to do. So it's really good to just to look at that and realize, because I think it's easy to race through and say, when this happens. And so, and to honor, you know, when we're happy, let's be happy. Let's enjoy it. Let's just like, you know, let's just really, really honor it.
You know, I love the expression, it's never too late to have a happy childhood.
I love it too. Yeah.
Because when being childlike, and having a childlike approach to life, and then look at the way children can take a mud puddle that has a has a little oil slick, and suddenly there's a rainbow in the mud puddle. And this is a wonderful thing to a child.
It's so simplicity.
Yes.
Simplicity.
Yes.
And look at, I love, oh my gosh, animals and even bugs and just different, you know, you just go, beautiful.
Yeah.
Look at the sunset, take it in, and just, it's just remarkable. Or you just watch even animals playing and everything's so special. Hey, I have a request for you.
What is that?
You can say no if you want to, but would you sing us a Christmas song or something? You have the most beautiful voice, but I'm not going to put you on. If you don't want to, we can wait. But I just wanted to see even.
Okay, hang on for just
a
second.
Even a couple little notes.
Clear the pipes a little bit. How about, I absolutely love Mel Torme. And the Christmas song that he wrote was one of my absolute favorites every year. Would that be okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. It goes, chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by the choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child will try to spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Yay! Merry Christmas to you, too. I love that.
The thing
that
I like about
Merry.
It is kids from 1 to 92. That's my favorite part of the song.
Yes. I love it. I love it. Thank you, ma'am. You have the most beautiful voice. Thank you. So we have to come up. I have to go to Manhattan and come see you. It never stops. The decorations and the things just keep going and going.
Mm-hmm. And Manhattan is an amazing place. It can be the loneliest place in the world if you really don't reach out to other people,
A
tremendous adventure. One of my very worst Christmases was, it was the first year I moved away from the home that I had lived in with my husband who had died. And I was walking down the street in Manhattan, and it just seemed like everybody was together. They had somebody. They were holding on to somebody. They were chasing somebody. They were having fun with somebody except me. And I started to feel sorry for myself. And I said, wait a minute. Cut this out. And so I decided, here I am in one of the most exciting cities in the world in a fantastic time of the year. And I was being miserable, and I decided to stop that. So I pretended I was a tourist.
Oh, okay.
And so I walked over to Rockefeller Center, and I watched the skaters, and I went over to that the wonderful place where they have all the crystal structures and Steubens, and I looked at some of the decorations, the Christmas decorations in the and the department stores and everything. And the next thing you know, I'm feeling okay. And it was Christmas again, because I had turned it around in my heart and in my spirit, and I had turned what could have been a sad, miserable evening into a very pleasant one. And this is what we have within our wonderful being and our spirit and our energy, our imagination, and the love that really is sitting there in our heart, and we just have to tap into it and turn it on. That's what we can do.
Creative mm-hmm. power within us. I'm going to read a quick, Charles Capps wrote The Tongue, A Creative Force. And, you know, just as we're talking about, that's beautiful. Just as we're talking about visualization and what we say, it's so mm-hmm. real. And it's really interesting that as we fast forward into the years where we are now, there's been almost a more of an awakening and an acceptance of talking about these things, you know, where before years ago it was more taboo to talk about it in public. And it really does make it, you can visualize in your dreams, but what you say is so important too. They did a study, somebody was telling me recently, matter of fact, he's a scientist, was telling me about there was a study done with plants, and I don't know the name of the study, but it was, they had the plants in one room getting nothing but bad words, you know, bad mm-hmm. words. Just, you know, it, like you wonder, how does a plant know what a bad word is? But they did this study. And
they're very
words,
psychic.
Nice
you don't know it. They are very
absolutely.
Psychic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then in another room, it was love and touching. The other, the mm-hmm. ones in love and good words and good vibes and just wonderful. And the ones, excuse me, the ones that were in the other room that had the love mm-hmm. grew. And the other ones were wilting and dying. And sometimes people don't realize what we say to ourselves. Like when you said, hey, the GPS, I'd like love it because it restarts. You know, instead of saying, hey, I was stupid, I messed up, I did whatever. No, you're restarting.
Yeah.
We all need to do that because these words. So even, you know, think about when you're saying something to your child or your lover, you know, your husband, your wife.
Mm-hmm.
That just think, you know, my grandmother used to say years ago, she passed on, and both passed on within a couple years in the late 80s, but she used to say, twirl your tongue in your mouth 7 times before you speak. So I'm just throwing that in there real quick. I wanted to read this one thing, just because our words are powerful. And then from this book, Charles Capp, The Tongue, A Creative Force, creative power in you. Man was created in the image of God and his likeness. There was creative power that flowed out of the mouth of God, and you were created in the image of God. Then according to the scriptures and what Jesus said, you have the same ability dwelling or residing on the inside of you. Adam gave man's authority over to Satan. Jesus just got that authority back. He was born of a virgin. And the way he was born of a virgin was the way that God created the universe. God said, it will be done. And it's not impossible for God to perform his every declaration. God had specific things he said. He didn't say, well, it's going to be done, and however it's going to be done. You know what I mean? There was a plan. And I'm only mentioning this because things get specific, and I know different people have different, you know, religions and thoughts and whatever, but in all religions, in all things of mankind, the word, the spoken word, what we say is so important, just like with what we think. So I'm just mentioning that because even now, if you're, you know, in listening to this and you're going to go out in the holidays, you could even go to a shelter and donate, or you could do something little, or you could, you know, just to, and mm-hmm. you'd be amazed mm-hmm. how good you'd feel mm-hmm. to get into
absolutely. But
yeah, the word is so.
Again, it is, there is a creation story in every religion.
Yeah.
And there is longing for God. And there is striving to please in every religion, and I compare it as an interfaith minister. I compare the different religions to the different children of God. And if you think of a very big family, and the children bringing gifts to the mother. And one might bring a bird with a broken wing. And one might bring a rock. And one might bring a picture that they drew. And one might do a trick. And one might sing a song. And does the mother love every gift that's brought to it? Because she knows that that child is trying to please and
right.
wants to make her happy. And quite frankly, when people have a religion and they honor it and they respect it and they live by it, that is their way of pleasing God.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever way they do it, it's the doing of it that's important. It's the faithfulness and the caring and the and whatever their intentions are that is more important than what.
It's amazing. Hey, I'm going to switch over now to just a few. We're not going to have time to read all of them, but this is coming from lovehomeswap.com, and it's some of the bizarrest Christmas traditions.
Oh, good.
I'm like going like, what do you do? Okay, now I'm not. Don't hold me to any of these. If somebody's from these places and says that's not what we do, I'm getting this from lovehomeswap.com. But South Africa, this festive South African delicacy is not for the faint-hearted. On Christmas Day, locals tuck into the deep-fried caterpillars of a birth moth. Ooh, okay, that doesn't sound good to me. But I bet if I had it, and you didn't tell me what it was, I might not know, right? So
could be.
Austrian children live in fear of Krampus, a Christmas devil who's said to beat naughty children with branches. Number three, Catalonia. Catalonians include the figure of Caganer, C-A-G-A-N-E-R, in their nativity scenes, a small figure of a man doing what he shouldn't be doing. I don't know. Number four, Catalonians also have the Tio de Nadal, otherwise known as the pooping log, decorated with the face and blanket on Christmas Eve. The log is placed halfway into fire and beaten with sticks. Boy, this is bizarre.
Yeah.
Norway says there's no cleaning on Christmas Eve in Norway. All brooms are safely hidden away in case they're stolen by witches and evil spirits. Wow. You talk about superstitions. Japan, advertising can be incredibly powerful. Thanks to a campaign in 1974, many Japanese families eat Kentucky Fried Chicken on Christmas Eve. Wow. Now, I know a lot of people that are Japanese, especially from Hawaii and back and forth, and I've never seen them eating Kentucky Fried Chicken, but I haven't been with them on Christmas Eve either.
So and you haven't been in Japan on Christmas Day either.
Exactly. No, I'm going to have to ask Osama Murata about that one. So let's see, Venezuela. Venezuelans attend Mass in the run-up to Christmas. However, Caracas residents have developed a strange tradition, journeying to Mass on roller skates. Whoa.
Hmm.
Wow. Now, you could do that, Mary. I probably can't, but you could. Let's see. You could get on the roller skates. Greenland. Greenland has some unusual Christmas recipes. Matok is raw whale skin served with blubber. Kiviak is 500 dead auk birds stuffed into a seal skin and left to ferment for 7 months. That is a little unusual.
Wow.
I guess,
it is pretty bizarre. But
I guess cold up there, but... Huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
Maybe like my grandmother always did it, so we're always... my family always did it, so we're going to keep doing it. Germany.
Yeah.
Germans hide a pickle in the Christmas tree on Christmas Eve. The first child to discover it in the morning receives a small gift. I have not heard of these. Oh. I hope they find it, right? Because can you imagine the pickle after a few days? Let's see. New Zealand.
Oh, they will find it. If kids are told something is there and they're going to get a prize, they will find it. Absolutely.
Oh, this is so cool. New Zealand. Rather than using the traditional conifers, New Zealands decorate pahutukawa trees at Christmas. Oh, that's nice. So they use, in Portugal, Consoada is a traditional Christmas morning feast in Portugal. This is a time for remembering the dead and families lay places for the souls of their late loved ones.
Oh.
You know, in Halloween they do that in the Philippines, right? It's kind of, we have different things. Germany, okay, German children leave a shoe outside of the house on December 5th, which is then filled with sweets overnight. Naughty children awake to find a tree branch in this shoe instead. Aww. That's not nice.
No.
I'm going to just go through a couple more because we're Ukraine. Ukrainians forego tinsel and baubles, instead decorating their Christmas tree with an artificial spider and web.
Mercy.
Czech Republic, unmarried women stand by. Listen to this. In Czech Republic, unmarried women stand by a door and throw a shoe over their shoulder. If the toe is pointing towards the door when it lands, they'll get married within the next year. Oh, that's too funny. So you go stand by the door, throw a shoe over your shoulder. If it's pointing towards the door when it lands, oh, that's too funny. Estonia, on Christmas Eve, Estonian families traditionally head to the sauna together. And in Wales, Marie Lloyd is performed in some Welsh villages on Christmas Eve. A villager is chosen to parade through the streets, bearing the skull of a mare, on the end of a stick. Ooh, okay.
Huh.
So there's, I'm going to run through, because I can do a few of them here. In Iceland, the Yule cat is said to stalk the Icelandic hills. Those who don't receive new clothes before Christmas Eve are said to be devoured by this mythical beast. Oh, so if they don't have money to buy you clothes, then the cat got it, huh? The mystical beast, the Yule cat, ate your clothes.
There you go.
I'm sorry I couldn't get you a gift. Let's see, Sweden.
Oh, my.
Since 1966, authorities in Gävle have installed a straw Swedish Yule goat. However, almost every year, vandals have succeeded in burning it down. Oh. Mm. So I'm just looking. Let me see. A couple. Great Britain, an age-old tradition, dictates that each member of the family must stir the Christmas pudding mix in a clockwise direction before it's cooked, making a wish as they do. That's nice.
That's nice.
They have a little family tradition.
Yeah.
In France, we have Crepe Day on February 2nd. You would, throw the crepe up in the air with a silver dollar and make a wish. Italy, rather than Santa Claus, Italian children await the arrival of Befana, a friendly witch who delivers sweets and toys on the 5th of January. This is different.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just going to skip. Guatemala. Guatemalans sweep out their houses before Christmas. Each neighborhood will then create a large pile of dirt before placing an effigy on the devil on top and burning it. Ooh. So these are to get spirits out, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. You get the bad, burn up the bad spirits, just destroy that's so that you can be happy.
Okay, so like you said before, some of these are like mindless. They don't really have any. It's like, and then they keep doing it because it's their tradition, right? So this was in Slovakia. The most senior man of the house takes a spoonful of Luxa pudding and throws it at the ceiling. The more that sticks, the better. Ew, who cleans that up?
Oh, guess.
Okay. White Christmas cards in Japan are sent to friends and family. Red cards, however, are to be avoided. This is traditionally the color of funeral announcements. Okay. So we're doing the North Pole. I've got to check. We're almost finished through this. North Pole in Canada. Santa Claus, North Pole, Canada. Ho, ho, ho. Canada Post recognizes the address Santa Claus, North Pole, Canada. Ho, ho, ho. Any letters received bearing this address are both opened and replied to. We should try that. Do you think they are?
Yeah, they do that sometimes. Yeah, there some places they do. And some radio stations do it. And a lot of places have a tradition of answering the letters to Santa.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Right.
Yeah.
Aww. So we're, I'm just going to go through. Let's see. In Iceland, Icelandic children leave a shoe on their bedroom windowsills during the 12 days of Christmas. Each night it's filled with sweets or gifts ready to be enjoyed in the morning. Oh, okay. And then England says Santa Claus traditionally leaves presents in a child's stocking on Christmas Eve. However, naughty children may wake up on Christmas and find a lump of coal in their stocking.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that was one
of the... That's nothing like teaching them young.
Yeah, that's right. That was one of the traditions in the southern Illinois that they would say, you know, if you were bad, you get coals instead of nice gifts.
Oh, I've heard that before. Here's what South Africa, this is South African children are told, now I'm going to check with a friend of mine in South Africa, because South African children are told the story of Danny, a young boy who angered his grandmother by eating the cookies that had been left for Santa. In her rage, she killed him, and he said to hot homes at Christmas. Oh, my gosh. Talk about scaring these poor little babies. And then last but not least, I wouldn't scare those little ones like that. Last but not least, I guess, in the USA, Americans have created a boozy Christmas tradition called the Running of the Santas. Each event sees scores of people dressed as Santa taking part in a large bar crawl. I don't know about that either. But they found the most bizarre Christmas traditions. Whoa, there we have it.
Yeah, well, traditions they can be comforting and they can be also scary if that's, you know, that's
especially
what,
if you're
what
little.
They're doing is to try to motivate kids to be good. That's
exactly
basically
right.
all of those bad things is they were created at a time when people didn't really understand that you didn't have to scare people to be good, but you could offer them choices. Would you like this, that, or the other thing? If you do this, this will happen. If you do this, this will happen. And you know, you can always
choices.
Yeah, yeah, you can always make your life better by thinking about other people and doing nice things. So you know, it's a state of mind that used to exist, and I think we're growing out of it now. Thank goodness.
You think so?
I think so.
I hope so. I hope
mm-hmm.
so. Well, we are just about at the end of the show, and this has been fun. We should do a tradition. See, we'll do our own tradition.
There you go. And a very flexible tradition.
Absolutely.
Which is nice because you can always add new things to a tradition. Like somebody comes up with a new dish, and you don't always have to have a green bean casserole, you know.
Definitely. No, absolutely. Like one new tradition every year. No, maybe 10.
Yeah, that's a good idea. There are some that stick, they're keepers, and others are was, oh, well, that was okay, but we can do better. You know, it's that's the way people grow.
Absolutely. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. This has been fun. I have a few little quotes that I made, but I'm sure you've all heard them before. It's this too shall pass. Never assume. Don't second guess yourself when you feel sure of what you want. People will hurt you, but still get out and love people. We have trials and tribulations, and with time it all gets better. Laugh as much as you can. And laughter is just so healing on everything. And dream big. Write down your goals. The shortest pencil is better than the longest memory. Never, never quit. We all need to vent. It's okay. Behavior never lies. That's from Richard Flint. And so true. Like living alone and thinking you don't eat much, yet the dishwasher's always full. You know how that happens around the holidays, too, even no matter what. You know, we're all eating more than we should. We should all work on understanding ourselves. It can take years, but it's well worth it. When trying to quit a bad habit, we must replace it with something else. Trying to lose weight and wanting food, go for a walk instead. Go to the gym. Take an exercise class. Big, big one. Acceptance. We get more upset when we cannot accept the way things are. It's huge. If we accept the way things are, it's so much easier because we can't change people and we can't. There's a lot of things.
Well, you can change things by changing your attitude, and the attitude is the only thing that you have total control over.
Well, yeah, and if you're in a bad situation or a violence, that you need to get out of it. I'm just saying this in jest. Yeah, like there's certain situations
yeah.
you need to get away from, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if
you don't accept where you are, how are you going to get any place else? I mean, like, if you have a compass, you still have to know where you're starting from in order to see where which way is south or which way is north. You have to first accept and know where you are, and then you can make plans to either go higher, to go wider, to go deeper, or to just be happier.
Well said, well put. I love it, love it, love it. The last thing I put down, if you're really having a bad day, curl up with a good book later and sleep if you can. It usually looks better the next day. Sometimes wait 3 days for it to think about it again. But Merry, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. To everybody out there, whatever you're celebrating, may it be a joyous, joyous one. Mary, thank you so much for coming on, and we'll celebrate Christmas when we get together next.
That's good, and, you know, feelings are more important than a date on a calendar. So if you want to celebrate,
it could be July, and we'll still celebrate it, right? We're going to do that.
Whatever you
want
to
do,
when you have a good impulse, don't wait for a specific day to do it. Do it when you have the impulse, and make it the completion of a beautiful thing instead of putting it off, and then maybe it may never happen.
Absolutely, I love that. I love that. So to everybody out there, we'll see you next year, and talk to you next year. And everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.